fellow baseball nerds and a big one. Welcome to episode 14 of the Johnny and Josh Show. Renamed today, the Johnny, Josh and Big Dave Lengel Show. Great to have Dave.
Finally. Give me some juice, baby.
Dave, it's
he was
not official.
He was holding out. It was like a spring training holdout. He was like, I'm not coming back till my name's on.
Now that Eric's gone, I can finally start my plan to take over.
Well, look, despite having you back, we're still going to keep with some other traditions. And obviously, one of them is the reference to 14. This is episode 14. The biblical reference, according to the Bible, is considered to be a symbol of salvation and deliverance. And you are the salvation and you are the deliverance, Big Dave, because you're back to hold our hands. And actually, the 14th day of the first Hebrew month is called Nisan and is the Passover. That's for you, Big Dave. That's in your
honor.
Thank you.
And Josh, too. Don't forget.
And Josh as well. I keep forgetting.
Thank you.
I'm outnumbered here, guys. I'm outnumbered.
That's right. We got you now. Be careful.
But hey, move away from religion. Move away from religion. You'll love this. Did you know that 14 is the minimum age limit? You can drive a 50cc bike in Italy.
I didn't realize.
There you go.
No, I was thinking about that the other day.
How much Googling did that take, Goldie?
That's
2 hours of Googling.
It's also the most common age of criminal responsibility in Europe. I thought that was quite relevant to both of you. Anyway, notable 14s in the world of baseball. Any spring to mind?
Would you Ernie Banks. Ernie Banks.
Ernie Banks.
Number one.
Absolutely.
Well, that's the popular one. I'm going with Gil Hodges.
Okay.
Really?
Manager of the New York Mets in the 1969. And, of course, the steady first baseman for the Brooklyn Dodgers.
And perhaps the best player not in the Hall of Fame.
That's the argument.
Five. Yeah.
That's the argument. There's people that say, you know, if you look at his war, it doesn't hold up. And that he would be, you know, among the lesser folks. But then they say, hey, look, Harold Baines is in the Hall of Fame. Why isn't Gil Hodges in there?
Okay. Well, and I mean, I think more than that, Larry Doby, number four.
Larry Doby.
Larry Doby, huge. First African-American player in the American League.
I'm still amazed you haven't mentioned one name. We're talking players, great players that aren't in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, my God.
Cincinnati Reds. Pete Rose.
Pete Rose.
Good, Goldie.
Thank you. Thank
you. Wore that with the Reds, with the big red machine.
This is also one I should like.
I mean, we should poll each of us. I mean, I will say I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. Dave?
I think he's done his time. I'd like to see all those folks get in. And now that they're doing with the DraftKings and all this game, and now they're trying to get in on the gambling money, enough already.
Yeah, agreed. Goldie?
100%. Pete Rose, definitely. We're focusing on baseball, for God's sake. Okay, COVID update. Canadian border still closed. Blue Jays still in Buffalo.
Signs of light there. Signs of light. If you know, they let the Canadians cross the border to play in those important NHL playoffs matchups, and we're going to have a cross-border matchup in the Stanley Cup. So if they're going to let that happen, perhaps not too long from now, perhaps sometime in early August, we have home games in the Rogers Center. With or without fans, we don't know, but we'll see. They had 3,500 fans in the Bell Center watching the Canadians. So watch that space.
Can I add that it's a bit heartbreaking we don't have Eric Jansen here, a hardcore Canadiens fan, and his team is in the Stanley Cup Finals for the first time since 1993.
Le Canadien du Montréal.
And actually, I was going to say, with regards to what David just said, the fingers crossed that return will coincide with the return of the great one, the great Canadian himself, Mr. Eric Jansen, to this very show.
Absolutely.
I have got some good news, though, guys, because obviously that's a bit of a downer for us, certainly not having Eric with us. The good news is the Johnny and Josh Show Twitter. Dave, I don't know if you know this, we offered a prize. Do you remember? We offered a prize once
What was the prize?
We said we're going to come up with a prize. We haven't even thought what it is.
It's going to be something from me and something from Goldie. Two prizes.
Exactly. And if you want to throw something in as well, Dave.
Oh, I've got loads of stuff, believe me.
We were like 40 shy of 2,000 followers on Twitter. So it was it was just...
I heard it went down after this.
It did not. It went up 7 last week.
Oh, wow.
We're getting closer.
Hey, but guess what? It's gone up 39, and we've got 2,001. Now my worry
until the next deharvesting of bots, we're over 2,000.
Exactly, all the Russian bots came through for us.
Well, I was going to say 2,001. It seems a little coincidental. We wanted 2,000. I think somebody just gone out and got their neighbors to follow us and everything.
Hey, me and Vladdy got started. Like,
wait, does this mean that someone listened to the show that was just the two of us? Because that to me is beyond my comprehension.
Didn't just listen.
Unbelievable.
They responded. They reacted.
I know.
We've got 2,001. They got 2,000. Which the bad news is,
what's
we've
it like to
come
be loved,
up with a prize. You should know, Dave.
We will tell our kind listeners that we will put together a prize package from each of us and
absolutely
choose the people in the next week.
And obviously we want to hear from the listeners to say which of the two prize packages they like the most. Was it JC? Was it JG? There you go. That'll be fun.
You compete over everything, you sad old
you're
man.
Like you're like Michael Jordan.
It's the dizzy bat race all over again. Don't forget, can we do the plinky plonky, please? If you're watching us on YouTube, we're pointing at the bottom of the screen because we need you to hit the like.
Michael Jordan Gouldy.
Well, it's working.
Betting on every hole.
Dave, we've got 2,001 Twitter followers. Hooray! I'm wearing my Braves top in celebration.
It's a brave new world.
Okay. Right, trivia question. Moving next, and I've taken responsibility this week. I think you're going to enjoy it, guys. I've come up with a cracker. It's a very simple question. You know how Eric always tries to justify the reason he's doing it and waffles on for hours. I'm just going straight in with a question. Because, as you know, I was the former presenter of a couple of game shows on Channel 5. I'm sure you remember.
That's true. Remember those days? Enjoy watching that.
That's right.
How it was actually
Memory happened. Bank. Otherwise known as memory loss, and Brain Teaser, otherwise known by my friend as Brain Dead, but that's another story. Here's the question. What MLB rookie hit 7 home runs in his first 6 games? Was it, I'm giving you a choice, A, Albert Pujols? Was it B, Big Barry Bonds? Was it C, Trevor Story? Or was it D, Ken Griffey Jr.?
I think I know that one.
You think you know that one?
Knows that one, too.
No, I thought that was a good question.
That's what I think. I don't know. It's just what I think. I have a feeling he has that S-eating grin on his face like he knows.
Yeah, I always have that look on my face. So don't
yeah, he just hasn't been to the toilet.
It's why I'm limited with friends.
We don't have a physical bell, Dave. So last week we just did loads of different bell sounds. So what are we going to go with this week?
Dong, dong.
Ding.
No, it was different each time. It's different each time. You know, so that's the first one. Go ahead, Dave. Do it again.
Ding.
Okay. Let's move
really
on.
It's like a campy, sexy ding.
Okay. Batter number one. As always, 3 weeks ago to the All-Star break. Traditional leadoff hitter is, of course, the news roundup. So let's get to it. First up, Guerrero boys. I love this. I'm sure you've seen it, guys. Vlad Jr. hit his 50th home run in 258 games, and somebody went back to the stat books and found that Vlad Guerrero Sr. hit his 50th home run, yes, you guessed it, in 258 games.
No way.
Wow. I'm serious.
Symmetry.
Wow.
Yeah.
We know Dad was a superstar. Junior's clearly going to be a superstar. So the big question is, and it's a simple
Dad
question.
Never played in Buffalo.
That's true, and that's probably helping. Big question to both of you. Who's going to end up with a better career?
Oh, but, come on.
Jose?
It's impossible to make that determination yet because so much of it is staying healthy. The expanse of a career is determined more than anything by keeping healthy. Now, Vlad Jr. lost a lot of weight in this offseason, so he looks like he's able to, you know, be able to keep on top of his body longer at this point. But is he going to maintain that commitment, that level? He has the ability to be better. Do I think he is a more talented player? I would say probably not in terms of the arm, right? You know,
Vlad, no way, not with the arm.
Was the greatest, you know, one of the great outfielders.
What a gun.
But in terms of the hitting tool and the power tool, he has the ability to be better. The jury is just going to be out on whether he can maintain for as long. You know, the thing about Guerrero, the original Guerrero, was if not for the fact that he hurt his knees playing out in, you know, the Big O in the Olympic Stadium.
On that concrete.
I mean, have either of you guys ever played on the old?
It's style? Unbelievable. I can't stand on a concrete floor for more than 10 minutes.
It was insane. And so, you know, the fact that he was injured certainly limited his career. So that gives it a little bit of evening that, you know, Junior may have some maladies that sort of bring him down a little bit. So bottom line, Junior probably better hitting tools, but whether he's going to have a career long enough, question mark.
But keep in mind, you know, Daddy never had the belly problems. Vladdy was ripped.
Yeah.
Old Vladdy was ripped. He didn't have to worry about that. You know, this could be a problem as time goes on. We'll see.
I 100% agree, Dave. I mean, he lost weight in this offseason, but is he going to maintain that commitment?
But he still doesn't have, he lost weight, but like, he's
still
roly-poly. Like
and to be roly-poly at his age, that's a little scary, right?
Yeah, but look, Tony Gwynn played at a high level after he, you know, he got big.
Yeah, but different.
That was later
tools,
in his career,
different
though.
Different tool set, too. And also, I mean, he was very fast. And at that age, if you look at Tony Gwynn at that age, didn't look like.
No, I agree with that. Yeah, true.
And I have to say, the funniest thing about this debate, and I agree with pretty much everything you both said, is Dave comparing himself to elite athletes and in my day when I was.
I couldn't stand. I'm telling you right now. I go to IKEA. IKEA has a concrete floor. In 10 minutes, I got to go sit down. I mean, and these guys played baseball on it for years.
He's putting his hand on his head to, you know, get the oxygen flow into his lungs because he's so overwhelmed.
Exactly. I got that little, like, that rolling thing with the oxygen.
Okay, yeah. Moving on. Big Dave, this one's for you. The NL MVP debate. Already, they're saying it's a two-horse race between Tatis Jr. and Jacob deGrom. So the big question is, and obviously you've got a particular interest in one, do positional players always deserve preferential treatment in the voting process because they're on the field more? Often, obviously, the MVP very rarely gets a pitcher.
I don't know about preferential treatment, but I think in order for a pitcher to win an MVP, a pitcher, he really has to have something special. I mean, an all-time season in order to win an MVP award, because they do, I don't know if you want to call it preferential treatment. I mean, we have the Cy Young for the pitchers. We have the MVP for the folks who play in the field. And DeGrom is having a season, you know, that is, I mean, the guy has it. He gave up, let me just put it to you this way. He gave up 2 runs yesterday in 6 innings and only struck out 5, and you thought there was something wrong with him. But he did have a hit to get his batting average back over 400, because it briefly dipped under 300. So I think I think right now he has the edge on Tatis. You know, you can tell when they have these years for the pitcher to win the MVP. This looks like one of them.
JC, is it that special a season for DeGrom that he will outdo even Junior?
Well, first off, I'm not convinced he's going to stay healthy for the whole season and, you know, get 32 starts. Well. But even if he does, and I know the Mets are in first place, another 4 games on the Nationals as of the time of recording. But, you know, you look at that team and you look at the Padres, who are 46-33 compared to, you know, a not as good a record with the Mets. And you have to ask yourself, okay, DeGrom has been otherworldly, but his team isn't as good. And that's a reflection on the fact that a pitcher can only do so much. So I think I agree with you that, you know, if a pitcher has a season that's incredible, they need to be consistent.
Like a Koufax.
Right. But that doesn't mean that you win it. It means that you're in the conversation.
True.
And if there is another player who's a positional player who has carried major freight for his club, even if he's not, even if it's not a world beating year, but it's, you know, an exceptional year, I'm still probably going to take the positional play.
Okay. Moving on again. We obviously don't have a waffle, and thankfully I don't need it because the two of you are being very, very concise. Talking of concise, Thursday night, Dodger Stadium, Cubs, no. Sixth time a road team has thrown a no-hitter this season, extending the record for the most in a single season. And of course, it's the seventh no-hitter this season, tying the modern era, we're talking since 1900. And that is an AL-NL record tied. Was also done in 2015, 2012, 1991, and 1990. The overall record for a season is 8. This is the 7th. We're not even at the All-Star break, guys.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's first discuss the no-hitter, because this is definitely goes in the annals as one of the less exciting, less
sloppy.
It was sloppy. The pitchers who threw for the Cubs, they walked 8, struck out 7. And that's a testament to a certain extent to the Dodgers lineup, which is one of the most disciplined that we've ever seen. That even when they're not swinging the bats, they're still getting on base 8 times. But it's just a reminder, even with a Dodgers lineup like this, they walk a lot, but they should be getting hits. Zach Davies, not a bad pitcher, you know, a real, you know, a cunning pitcher, really cunning type of guy. But this has got to get figured out, because these no-hitters are becoming a little too often, and it's losing its luster, and it's one of those special moments in baseball that's becoming less special.
Dave, talking about the records being broken as well, the Dodgers had MVP winners Mookie Betts, Cody Bellinger, and Albert Pujols in their lineup, still got a no-hit.
Yeah.
And that's the first time a team has been no-hit with 3 or more MVP winners in its starting lineup, which does suggest that it sounds ridiculously impressive, but it's too impressive. It's never been done before for a reason. And I agree with JC. I mean, I'm beginning to think these no-hitters aren't particularly meaningful.
Let's first of all, combined no-hitters don't have the sex appeal, of course, as a single-person no-hitter.
Yeah, I agree.
8 walks, very sloppy. But I just want to point out that Matt Young in 1992 on April 12th, 8 innings pitched, 2 earned runs, 7 walks, 6 strikeouts, allowed 6 stolen bases. Doesn't get much sloppier than that.
No, there does. There does.
Joe, is that Crowley, right? Oh, what do you got?
Joe Crowley in 1986 won a game 7-1. He walked 7 batters. He threw as many balls as he threw strikes, gave up a run, won 7-1, and then never won another game in his major league career.
Wow. Oh, wow. Great stat. Great stat. I'm loving this. It's the battle of the stats.
Of course. Remember, the jokey one in New York is Andy Hawkins because he lost. eight innings pitched, 4 runs, no earned, 5 walks, 3 Ks, and a stolen base. And the White Sox won 4-0.
Dirty no hitters. I see a book in our future, Dave. We'll write the
dirty
book.
No hitters, Robin. Love it.
Yep. Okay, moving on. Talking of dirty, this is not a record anybody's going to be proud of. The D-backs finally won an away game on Saturday night, beating the Padres 10-1. But they've set a new record that will possibly never be beaten, losing 24 consecutive away losses. I mean, that is just horrible.
I kind of want to look at this from the other side, though, Goldie, which is I think it's a reminder about the even nature of baseball. A team that bad, they break their record not against the second worst team in baseball, but against one of the better sides in baseball, the San Diego Padres, which means even the worst teams in baseball, when they face the top teams on a given day, can win.
Yeah, yeah. Very true of baseball and possibly no other sport.
Sometimes I don't, you know.
I disagree. What about footy, Goldie? You know, you always have those first round FA Cup tie-ins where, you know, some fourth division team somehow beats a team from the top level.
But how often does that happen? Very rarely, Victor.
Yeah, fair enough.
Very rarely, JC. Compared to this, that's the point I'm making. That's why it's such a big story. Coventry City losing to Sutton United in the FA Cup. Those are the big shockers. But have you ever seen the footage of what the pitches were like? That's the reason why they get beaten. It's all about
give
pitch.
Me a break.
It is.
Complaining about the pitch.
I'm not complaining. I'm explaining.
Give me a break.
But Dave, I was at Stevenage. Yeah. I was at Stevenage. I covered Stevenage many years ago when I was working for London Tonight.
How was that?
Newcastle in the FA Cup. Newcastle had Alan Shearer as their top man. They had Kenny Dalglish as their manager. And Newcastle.
Did they have that Peruvian that I loved? What was his name? He was great. That South American, he was fantastic. He was so
I'm glad you can remember his name because
I can't remember his name. Oh my God.
But the point I'm making
is where's the waffle?
Absolutely. Well, I wanted to finish the story, but Dave came in with it. But you asked a question, you didn't even know the answer to it. Anyway, moving on.
True.
Ding, ding, ding. Just very quickly, the point I'm making is they went down to look at the pitch and they said it's a disgrace. There's no way this game should be on. Sky saw the upset possibilities, came in, offered Stevenage 150 grand. That's why the small club's move is for the money, for the gate receipts. Sky gave them live coverage fee, 150 grand, so they didn't need to move it. What happened? They got a draw. They'd never have got that result anywhere else. Then they went up to St. James's Park, home of Newcastle.
And this, you know, this has a lot to do with the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Ding dong.
Can I just say one thing? The Arizona Diamondbacks are barely, I mean, they don't feel like a real major league team.
If they didn't have the injuries they had, they certainly wouldn't be like a record-breaking team.
They need to go back to their pinstripes and green, you know, their purple. That team won a World Series. Ever since they moved, they changed their colors. They don't feel like a real team to me. They should go back to their original stuff.
I'm going to put you both on a clock for this one because I do want to get your view on this. And I know this is something you wanted to get into, Dave. So you got no more than 2 minutes. Fan ripoff. Full price is being charged for 7-inning doubleheaders. Dave, take it away.
Okay, so the other day, I was lucky enough, a friend called me up. He said, I have front row seats to the New York. I have never sat front row behind the plate like the TV shots. I have never in my life ever sat in a seat like this. $447 ticket. It said, okay, now I watched 9 innings of beautiful baseball. I had a burger, a chicken, the food was included. I ate everything I could see. Okay, I had ice cream, burgers, chicken burgers. It was amazing. And I watched 9 innings of beautiful baseball. What would have happened? What would I have felt like if that was actually part of a split doubleheader and it was 7 innings only? Why is that going on? We have 7-inning doubleheaders because we were trying to limit exposure time during COVID, and we were conscious of, you know, COVID kind of things that we were dealing with when COVID was at its height. And now they're taking those doubleheaders, which were supposed to be back-to-back, and they're splitting them because fans are back. So why do they still exist? 7-inning doubleheaders have to go away starting next year. Okay. Or you cannot charge full price for them.
You've used your time up. Ding, ding, ding. JC, quick response.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about two different issues, right? One's the playability issue. I actually like the 7-inning doubleheaders from a playability standpoint because you know, you're grinding so hard during the season, and if you have a reason that you're going to have to play those games, but charging twice for it, that's I'm not into that. So I'll support you on get everyone gets nachos for free.
I don't like seven innings. It's a high school game. Next.
Okay, I'm going to round up the news roundup with the Badoo Watch, a view to Akil. And all I'm going to tell you, 20 at-bats, 7 hits, 4 runs, no home runs. The power's not there. 3 RBIs, 1 stolen base. He's still doing the job. We love you, Akil. The Akil Watch, courtesy of the Johnny and Josh Show. Ding, ding, ding. End of this round. Okay, second batter's up at the plate, and we're going to focus on the All-Star game, guys. The finalists are out there. This is like phase one that's been drawn to a close. So we've got the three top names in all the different positions in the different leagues. Just a quick explanation, JC, for our listeners, those who don't understand the voting process. Where are we and what have we got to look forward to?
Yeah, so there was a broad ballot that really had not every starter, but pretty much most of the people who you would think could potentially be All-Star starters in which people were allowed to vote on. But then it gets shrunken down. This is for the positional players to determine who the starter is. And it's the top three at every position, every positional position plus designated hitter are then in a second round of voting. So there'll be 4 days in which people can vote on the top three to choose who the starter is going to be. So it just allows a little bit of narrowing. I think that's helpful because what happens often in All-Star voting is that people keep on going back to their local hero. So now some teams won't have their local hero at various positions. So they're going to really have to vote based on merit more than anything else.
Okay. Well, Dave, before we get into just talking about a few of these surprises, a few of the positions, let's just focus, first of all, on the 5 leading vote getters. No surprise to find 2 of the 3 juniors are 1 and 2. A little bit surprised to see the 3rd, Fernando Tatis Jr., is only ranked 5th at the moment behind Salvador Perez, who I love, but I'm amazed he's in 3rd. And in 4th, Mike Trout, who spent at least half the season on the IL.
And, we've been talking about this. Isn't that crazy that, you know, the whole world is about Fernando Tatis, and yet he's only the 5th highest vote getter in the Major League Baseball All-Star game. All the color, all the pageantry of Tatis, all the fun, all the hype, all the Dodger-Padres games, and they could only get 2,052,642, enough for 5th. Meanwhile, Acuna is the 2nd, and the Braves, who are going nowhere, who are a total disaster. Mike Trout hasn't even played, and Tatis is still 5th. Interesting, isn't it, Josh?
Yeah, it's trying to figure out what the reason for that is. Is it that you don't have those motivated San Diego Padre fans? I mean, being down in San Diego, it's Yabra, I'm just going to go down to the beach, have some chill time.
Yeah.
So, like, are they just not, they don't have time to fill it out? Or is the media building up Tatis more than the fans feel?
Overhyped.
It could, I mean, 2 of those are an option. The other option, of course, is someone like Salvador Perez. Kansas City fans are just so enamored with their star that they're just willing to put in the energy. But
Tatis is just supposed to be, you know, one of the players that, spans the continent. Yeah. Everybody's supposed to be voting for Tatis. Not everybody's going to vote for Perez. That's only going to be, like you said, in Kansas City, where they're going to stuff that box, or what's the equivalent for the computer?
I've done one vote, and I had Perez, because he's the standout catcher in the league.
You had Tatis great, but though, presumably, right?
I did. Yeah. Absolutely. But I think this idea that you cannot vote as often as you like, I think that's stupid. But anyway, that's just me.
You've talked about that before.
I'm not going to bore anybody by repeating it.
No fun, Johnny doesn't like multiple votes.
To get a real sense of the true popularity, I don't think you should be allowed to vote more than once. That's my view. Mm-hmm. But anyway, this is another interesting fact.
Maybe we should have an audit.
I want you to guess which team has the most representatives on the final ballot. And I can tell you they've got 7. Which team? I guarantee you won't come up with the right answer.
They have the best fan base, whoever it is, right? Because
it's usually Cincinnati.
Toronto. Okay, Toronto, JC?
I'll go with your Braves.
Astros.
Wow. Well, nobody else likes
them. Exactly.
That's the thing, though, is that their fan base rallied around the team. Okay. So everyone else hated them, but the fan base was like, we're going to show them.
Right. Okay. Well, they've got the most with the final ballot with 7, followed by the Blue Jays, Dodgers, and Cubs with 5 each.
So I was close.
You were. Yeah. You were 2nd. Josh was nowhere. So well done, Dave. Okay. Let's focus on JC. A couple of names, perhaps late bolters that have made the final 3 but are not presently in 1st. Anyone that you want to see perhaps get a late run?
Yeah, for me, it is the National League second baseman's race. And I'm putting my money down, not my money down because I'm not gambling on it, but the guy I'd like to see is Adam Frazier get the start.
You took mine.
I didn't take yours.
You took it because you went first. You stole it.
You go sit in the corner. I'll give you a little toy to play with. All right.
Thank you very much.
Frazier, Frazier hitting 331. You know, it's not that Albies, who's the number one vote getter in the first round, hasn't had a good season.
Not as good as Frazier.
But not as good as Frazier. And I am one of those guys. What I always loved about the All-Star game when I was a kid, and we haven't talked about these uniforms that they're going to have that are just god awful. It's like a fever dream from like a marketing.
Wait a minute.
Executive.
They're not going to be wearing their teams.
Well,
the
you know, they have those other jerseys that they wear. I'm not sure whether they are like, you know,
like during the Derby and all the other stuff.
They're just god awful. But what I always loved about it when I was a kid was that you'd see the line of a representative from every team. And it was just this, you know, cornucopia of all the uniforms and all the different teams. And, you know, the Pirates are an also-ran, but to see their one player in the starting lineup would be a lot of fun.
All right, Dave, he's stolen your choice. Have you got anybody
else?
Stole
my choice. I'm very upset.
Anybody else? Anybody else you want to mention?
Here's what I'll start out with. Number one is, how in God's name is Shohei Ohtani not number one on that overall vote-getting list? I mean, really?
Number one at DH, at least.
Yeah, he's number one at DH. And obviously the pitchers don't get chosen, so maybe he's lost out. But
okay, number one on DH. He's not in the top five?
No.
I mean... Do I have to sit here and explain why that's ridiculous?
Because only American League people want to vote on the DH, maybe. I don't know.
No. Look at the Angel. That's what's weird, right?
They put Trout in, but they don't put Ohtani in?
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
All right, pick a guy.
Dave, answer the question. Pick a guy.
Answer the question. Well, Posey, we talked about this a little bit.
He was already number one. Posey was already number one. So you've got to pick someone who isn't already the vote-getting leader.
Freeman over Muncy and Rizzo, I would say. I hate to stick up for a Brave.
No, well said. Okay, you missed it at the other obvious one, Bo Bichette for Toronto in second place.
No way! Wrong. I'm totally disagreeing with that because Xander
Bogaerts is great.
Has been insane on that team. That's in first place, and he is. JD Martinez has been good too, but Xander has been a key reason for them.
He's such a beautiful player. He's so good.
You know who I'm going to go with? Because I think that the outfielders in the American League, it's a bit light, right? You have Trout as one of the top three vote getters. I like Cedric Mullins with Baltimore. And I know
he's
dropped off a little bit. He's in seventh. He's hitting 311, 13 home runs. To me, he should be a starter. Because
they've been talking about this, Josh, because the Orioles, who are terrible, you know, they have Mancini, they have Mullins. And who's the other guy who's great? Is it Means?
The pitcher.
Mountcastle.
Yeah, but he'll almost definitely get them.
They should be sending three or at least two, and that's a team, the Orioles, you would expect to only send one.
But we're talking about, okay, who should be a starter? Is it in the top three?
No, I understand that. I'm just saying that.
So for me, you know, if you want to have back your Adam Frazier, I will take Cedric Mullins.
Okay, well, here's another ridiculous one. Because you're focusing on the outfielders, JC, and I agree. I think the American League outfielders vote is ridiculous.
How empty was that from Josh? He's already done the explanation, and he's giving it back to me. Thanks a lot.
Because I know a little hand-holding never
hurts
you. Because
he knows you haven't done your research.
Exactly.
Right.
A little hand-holding never hurt you, buddy.
Oh, boy.
Okay, in third place for the American League outfielders, I mean, started amazingly, Byron Buxton. And I could tell you, because I've got him in my team, he's out again. He lasted about a day. He's been injured virtually three quarters of the season. How is he in third place?
Because when he was good, he was good. I mean, you know, maybe there was a lot of voting when he was still in the lineup.
I don't think voting started when he was
playing. You're probably right.
Okay, I'm texting my mom. My mom just called. I'm just texting her.
This is a reminder of how it's a popularity contest. And,
exactly.
You know,
but JC, that is why I'm right. People should only have one vote because the vote gets skewed. I'm sorry to keep going back to it. I tell you what does please me. National League.
Yeah.
Outfielders, second and third. Both of them Cincinnati Reds, both of them deserving. Nick Castellanos and Jesse Winker. Really pleased to see that. And I absolutely hope those votes keep coming.
They misspelled his name. Isn't there supposed to be an A in there somewhere?
No, there is not. It's a family show.
Shall we ding dong this one? I think
we'll have to.
Run it into the ground.
Hey, the only other thing that we should mention, isn't it great to see the man Buster Posey topping the National League catcher bill? Love to see the old man doing so well. fantastic, even though he's now injured. There you go. Okay, that is ding, 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 dong, dong, dong. What was the sound? What was the sound effect?
And the witch is dead. Let's go.
Okay, moving on. Third batter up, JC, this is your personal favourite. It is, of course, the College World Series. And I understand Mississippi State advanced to the College World Series final with a victory over Texas on Saturday night. But the other fixture, controversy. Do you want to fill us in?
Yeah, this is one of my favorite times of the year for baseball, which is the College World Series. You go to Omaha, Nebraska, where it's been for donkey's years. And it's just a wonderful baseball experience. And as a college baseball player, you know, Dave, I'm sure Dave Lingell, when he was a kid in Little League, you dreamt about going to Williamsport. When I played Division I college baseball, my dream was to go to Omaha. And so it's a huge deal. And there was a really great Cinderella story through most of the season. It was the North Carolina State, the Wolfpack. And they started their season 1-8, struggled, all of a sudden turned it around in a very competitive ACC conference. Their division was able to find a way, get into the postseason, upset teams all along the way. There are a couple of levels before you go to the World Series. There's a regional and a super regional. They won those, made it to the World Series, go 2-0 in their first two games, beat Vanderbilt, who is really one of those blue blood college baseball programs at the moment. And then all of a sudden, COVID. They get so many players who tested positive for COVID or through tracing issues, unable to play. They actually were able to pull off one game before they had done all the testing, and they played with 13 players and lost a really close game. They were having players playing out of position, yet they still—
That's clever.
They were still in it, but then they had to forfeit, concede the other
what
game.
What a bunch of idiots, man.
And you know, I'm going to have to go with Dave on this. You know, I normally don't like to cast aspersions on people, players.
Go ahead. Cast them, Josh, right now.
I will be chucking some aspersions here for a moment. Because they interviewed their head coach who said, look, I don't want to get into the politics of this. And I'm like, this is insane. This is not politics.
Moron.
You get vaccinated. This was so easy. And as a coach, you have a responsibility to your team. These are kids. They're not adults. They're kids. And
you're in college. You should be smart. You're in college. You're smart, right? You go to college. Vanderbilt is a good school, by the way. Go, you know, be smart. Use your brain. South Carolina is a good school. Use your brain or whatever it was.
This is North Carolina State.
North Carolina. Great school. Use your brain. Get vaccinated.
You're casting aspersions in a shotgun manner here.
That's what we do. That's right.
Where the dispersions are going, buddy.
My dispersions are all over the place.
Very heartbreaking for me because it undermines, in a certain way, the integrity of the College World Series. Such a great event. Heartbroken for North Carolina State, who were really these great underdogs who had a chance to, you know, potentially make it all the way to the finals. Bottom line is, it shows that America still hasn't figured it out.
They have not. And by the way, you talked about dreams when we were in Little League. My dream in Little League was to have enough money after the game to have a hot dog and a Coke. I wasn't thinking about going to Williamsport. I was thinking about where I'm going to get my next hot dog. And if I still had enough to have a quarter to call my parents for a ride home afterwards.
You are definitely sitting in for Eric Jansen in this episode.
I think you've had too many Cokes, quite frankly. I'm going to pick up on this. The NC State Athletic Director, Boo Corrigan, said in a statement Saturday morning, "The health and safety of our student athletes and staff will always be our unwavering priority. The timing of this is simply devastating for everyone involved, but it doesn't diminish their incredible accomplishments." Nobody's going to argue with that. But if the health and safety of your students and athletes and staff is your unwavering priority, why haven't you got them vaccinated?
Well, you know, those statements just don't add up,
Johnny. I agree, Johnny. I think that is, a height of hypocrisy, that statement, because it reflects a misunderstanding of what needs to get done in order to have the opportunity to go and play in these things. Force the players to do it. If they don't want to do it, they don't have to travel to Omaha, and you could have gone much farther.
And that's so strange because we're hearing so much about kids on a college level, you know, having to get vaccinated to go back into university and stay in dorms. We are hearing about that, as we do hear it, obviously, on a high school level. For years, we've been forced to get our vaccinations to get into school. I'm not sure why the boat has been missed on this one.
Yeah, I mean, the opportunity was there. It's not like we don't have enough vaccines in the U.S. to make this happen. It's shocking.
Just to round this story off for me, JC, why is College World Series Baseball important?
It's more important, frankly, than it ever was in the past, because we've seen the contraction of minor league baseball. You're going to see more kids going into the college game because the opportunities in the professional level, those level of money to get to, you know, forego your college experience is different. But there's just
less roster spots.
Right. And there are less roster spots. But more than that, the college game is fun in the way that the college game is fun in American football and college basketball. It's a little sloppier. You have players who may not be, I mean, look at me. I played Division I college baseball. You have players who don't have tremendous talent getting an opportunity to still play at an incredibly high level. Yeah. And honestly, there's something about not being as good that makes the game almost more appealing. That, you know, you have a guy who somehow is throwing 82 miles an hour and getting guys out. There was a guy I played with on the Great Britain national team who I pulled into it, who won the championship game of the College World Series when he was in college with Cal State Fullerton. He was a left-hander. He threw 80, his name was Eddie Delzer. He threw 83 miles an hour, but the guy just knew how to pitch. The type of guy who would never make it to the major leagues, but you watch that at the college level, painting the corners. He threw a changeup on 3-2 counts that got people swinging and missing all the time. And that's fun. That's something beautiful about the game that you lose when you get to the highest level of the sport.
Here, here.
Great stuff. Ding, ding. Oh, and by the way, even though I've hit the ding, ding, best of luck to Vanderbilt and to Mississippi State. We'll revisit that when we know how they both got on. Okay. Ding, ding again. It's seventh inning stretch time, guys, and it's certainly, I think we've earned it. This is that time when we feel a little bit emotional, Big Dave, because obviously this is the moment that we would normally throw to our dear friend Eric.
Oh, yes,
who
I'm feeling very emotional right now.
Are you feeling? You're not doing a very good job of proving it.
I feel very, very sad and very emotional.
Okay.
He's at Wimbledon. I mean, who's having a better time right now? He's out there at Wimbledon.
I know.
I'm
I don't
sitting
feel
in
sad
my room
him.
Without we're air not, conditioning.
Right, Dave, we're not feeling sad for him. We're feeling sad for us.
Oh, sad for
we
us.
We are the lesser.
Can I just point out that we're recording this at 39 minutes past midnight British time, so he ain't at Wimbledon. If he is,
that's true.
He's getting arrested for stalking. Exactly. He's at home. He's in bed, and
he's probably cutting stuff for tomorrow. They work that boy.
Exactly. Yeah. So the responsibility for baseball book of the week has fallen on your shoulders, JC. What have you got for us?
I'm going to talk about a book that I love very much, and I alluded to this book in a crossover discussion I had with you, Johnny Gould, on Behind Home Plate. Yes. It was a 2006 book by a Wall Street Journal reporter by the name of Sam Walker, and it was called Fantasyland, and I highly recommend it. It's a little dated, 2006, but still a really fun read, and here was the conceit of the book. Sam Walker, as a reporter who got to get the access to clubhouses across Major League Baseball, joins one of the biggest fantasy leagues called Tout Wards and decides that because of this access, he wants to see whether or not he can use his information that he gets from being able to be with players to win this league. And I'm not going to give away whether he wins it or loses, but it's a fun story about all the things he did. He hired a guy who was a NASA scientist, like an astrophysicist, to help him with the analytics piece of it. He hired another person. Those two people actually ended up getting very involved with baseball. And it's a great story both about the history of fantasy baseball. And the reason I had alluded to it in our discussion is they actually made reference to a fantasy league I played in the mid 80s with my dad.
Oh,
it was one of the first.
Now you're talking fantasy
leagues. But
it's a great story.
I'm not going to go into details. But I really love that. I didn't expect it when I was reading the book. But the book is a really great read. I really recommend it. If you love fantasy baseball and you want to see whether or not inside info can actually carry you to the top of the heights of fantasy baseball or whether it's something innate that Johnny Gould.
But did they win or lose? That's what I really want to know.
I told you, I'm not going to give it away.
Absolutely. I know. I have to ask the hard question. So I want to ask that.
Dave, all you need to know.
I'm a real journalist, Josh.
Josh recommended this to me, and he knew that normally I didn't read books without pictures, and I went away and I bought it and I read it and I loved it.
Of course you read it. It's about fantasy.
You read my book suggestion before you saw Spinal Tap. This is a highlight moment for me.
Once in a lifetime lightning in a bottle stuff.
Well, I'm going to throw one back at you both because you know I love to play poker. And there's a great book that has the similar concept of somebody playing and deciding to go professional just to see how they'd get on. It's called The Big Deal. It's 1 year as a professional poker player, and it's by a guy called Anthony Holden, who I think he wrote an autobiography about Prince Charles. So he's a very highly respected writer. I met him once. Lovely, lovely guy. Very good player.
And did he win or lose?
It's a great. I'm not going to.
I have to
it.
Ask the hard questions.
He basically went to cover the Poker World Series, and he ended up earning enough money on the tables before the event started to enter. He entered a satellite, which cost him $1,000. He won it, won $10,000. That was the entrance fee. And he played, and he tells the whole story. And then he goes home, because he came about 99th, and he said to his wife, who was known as the Mole in the book, he said, I can't imagine life again after this experience. It was so amazing. And she said, well, you're a successful guy. Take 50 grand out, basically write a book and become a professional for a year and write, and that's the book. It's about his year as a professional. If you love poker in exactly the same way as you like baseball, fantasy baseball, you will love this book. So it's a great suggestion, and I can give you the big ticks there, JC. Fantasyland, what a great read that is for anybody that's into baseball, let alone fantasy baseball. But what about popular culture, JC? We're putting all the responsibility on your shoulders. What can you come up with this week in the world?
Okay, well, you know, baseball? One of the things Eric typically does here is try and find something obscure, interesting from a bigger type of production that we know of. I'm actually going to go really straight ahead just to do something different. I'm going to talk about one of the great baseball movies of all time. And I would argue an underrated baseball movie. And the only reason for that is because I consider it one of my top three or four of all time. And that is Major League, starring Tom Berenger, Corbin Burnson, Charlie Sheen, Dennis Haysbert.
Wesley Snipes.
Great, great film. So I'm going to give some trivia. Last night, just by chance, we hadn't discussed what we were going to do. I was actually reading some trivia about it, and there were some really great little nuggets that I found out. The one that I love is probably first and foremost, and this is so Charlie Sheen, we know, hashtag winning, crazy Charlie Sheen. He claimed on more than one occasion that he actually did steroids to improve his velocity beforehand. So he was, of course, the pitcher, Wild Thing. And he said that he was able to increase his velocity from, you know, low 80s to mid 80s as a result of his use of steroids. So he copped to that in a way that other players didn't. Second thing, the film was shot less in Cleveland. It was shot in Milwaukee. Bob Uecker, of course, who actually said about Charlie Sheen that he thought that Sheen was good enough to have been a professional baseball player, that he was that impressed with his mechanics. And watch him, for me, and I've said this to you guys before, is that one of the big criteria for me liking a baseball movie is whether the baseball looks real or not. If it doesn't, it just loses me. The baseball looks real there, and for more than anything, it's because of Charlie Sheen and how good his mechanics are on the hill. But Uecker, a lot of his great lines, like just a bit outside, those were all vamped. So those weren't written into the script. He was the one who came up with it. And two things is, I don't want to give away anything, plot spoilers for anybody who hasn't seen it, but if you haven't, you're listening to our podcast, shame on you. You should have at least seen this.
Somebody listening to this podcast hasn't seen Major League?
Well, one of the big characters, one of the big villains, is the owner of the team. And actually, the way it was originally set up, the owner has a moment in which she actually gets redeemed at the end, but the test audiences hated it so much they wanted her to be the villain all the way to the end that they actually cut that and had to reshoot the ending so that she didn't have a moment of vindication. And finally, Dennis Haysbert, who was of course the president on 24, he on a number of occasions is playing the big hitter Serrano, the Cuban player, and all that. In a number of instances, he's looked upon to hit a home run, and he actually hit a home run every time he was expected in the script to hit a home run.
Run
in the final game, that's like a really exciting moment. He did it every time. He was that good a hitter. He was also in that movie with Tom Selleck, Mr. Baseball, where he plays in Japan. He plays like the other Genji and the other foreign player. So he was a guy who had baseball experience, but still very impressive to hit a home run on cue.
I have a story about that movie. I'm going to tell it to you very quickly. 2012, I was in Boston on a job. I was also writing for The Guardian at the time. I got myself some credentials. The Indians were in town. I was looking for a story, so I went in before game time. I walk into the Cleveland Indians clubhouse, and on TV is Major League, and they are all watching it. It was unbelievable. You could not make it up even for 5 seconds. I mean, the luck of the draw to just walk in that day. And I went around asking them, you know, does this stuff add up? Does this feel, you know, is it authentic? Do you know? And they agreed. They thought it was very authentic about, you know, the camaraderie of the team, et cetera. And I went around asking them who was who. And they all, you know, one of them said, you know, I only get invited out to dinner when Travis Hafner invites me, because he was the one, he had just signed like a $13 million deal. And a lot of fun moments. I will post that article on our Twitter and on our Facebook page. But one of the highlights of my career, without a doubt.
Nice.
Fantastic. Great story, buddy. Great story. Okay, well, that moves us into the trivia question. Quick reminder for everybody out there, what MLB rookie hit 7 home runs in his first 6 games? I gave you 4 choices. A, Albert Pujols. B, Big Barry Bonds. C, Trevor Story. Or D, Ken Griffey Jr. Dave,
I'm going first. I never go first.
Okay, you go first.
And I'm going to beat Josh to the punch because he has that S-eating grin on his face because I know he knows this one because he lives in the town where it happened.
You're right.
And we all remember when Trevor Story came into the league and went ape crap, absolutely bananas over his first 7 games and hit all those home runs. So that is my answer, is Trevor Story, soon to be free agent.
Do you feel better now, David? Does it feel better to go first?
I have a very bad life, and these are the things that made me feel better about myself. So thank you.
So, you know, what I can do for David is I can confirm that he's correct. So I'm going to do that for David.
Oh, thanks.
Okay.
That's look, he's trying to take my moment in the sun and make it about him. Can you believe that? So you, oh, he's going to confirm that I'm right.
Focus.
Thank you, Josh. Thank you for confirming me.
Can I just the two of you with that confidence. So what if
very
you're wrong?
Confident.
What if I tell you you're wrong? Then how are you going to
then
feel?
You would be wrong.
You're absolutely right. I would be wrong because you're right. Correct. Yes. Trevor Story is the right answer.
Josh's blessing was correct. Thanks, Josh, for blessing me.
You see, Dave, if I had said you were wrong, all of a sudden the world would have changed and it would have been Ken Griffey Jr. I could. I have that power.
Thank you for taking on that.
Can I take this moment just to point out that when Eric does this, most of us get it wrong. We feel ashamed. We feel in some way inferior.
And last week, Goldie, you got it wrong when it was my turn.
Yeah, exactly. Which says everything about what a lovely guy I am.
You're a giver.
You guys, exactly. I'm a giver.
You're a giver, all right.
I'm a giver.
Next.
Ding dong.
Ding.
Moving on. It's a family show. Okay, we're into the mailbag. And I'm very happy to say we've definitely got a few tweets, he says, as he's trying to put the passcode into his phone because I've got them on my phone.
Oh,
here we
come
go.
Come on, Grandpa. Right. Let's go. Old Grandpa. Johnny Gould is Old Grandpa.
Okay, we're going to start with
Dirty
this
Grandpa.
One. This is from Peter Pratt, who we had who's Mr. Marlin in this part of the world at Miami Marlins.
Jazz Chisholm.
He's been on, he came on behind home plate with, and he's top boy, Peter. He's put, is Adam Duvall at $2 million in 2021 the best value free agent from the 21 offseason? I think he's got a very valid point. I mean, I'm amazed that the Braves didn't re-sign him.
This is always the reminder, right? I say this at the start of the season. We always have the conversation inevitably of who was the best offseason, you know, signing. And more often than not, it's the value picks. And the teams that decide not to spend $120 million over the long-term contract, but instead go in for the $2 million Adam Duvall types are the ones that always come out smelling like roses.
Yeah. Well, it's very interesting because one guy called Savan's gone back to that question that he posted.
And he's not the best value.
He just said Taijuan Walker, to which pointed out they have the same. Yeah, but they have the same war. They have the same war. But Walker's being paid 5 times as much. So the question was.
But you have to compare it, first of all, as a pitcher. And you have to also think that at the same time, Walker came in off the back of them not getting Trevor Bauer. And he's having a better year than Trevor Bauer is. So that makes him even better for the
I don't
money.
Think that makes him more value for money.
More value, more value.
Okay, Dave. Dave, I'll give you that one too, buddy.
Don't get don't get all statistical and brainy on me. He's having a better year than Trevor Bauer. And that makes him
he's bleeding his Met orange and blue.
Absolutely.
Right there.
Absolutely.
Don't
we're talking
get theatrical on me. I want, you know, I have no evidence and I have no data. So just believe me.
Okay, talking of stats, we've got a text from Stats by Stats. For the first time since 1938, the Giants are the first MLB team to reach 50 wins. In the wildcard era, which is since 1995, you will both know that, only 3 teams that were the first in MLB to win 50 wins, went on to win the World Series that season. They were the 98 Yankees, the 2005 White Sox, 2017 Astros. Guys, we've got to give the Giants the love, no matter whether you're questioning it or not. They have been amazing.
Incredible. When you think about how much this season has been about the Dodgers.
I mean, I know Gausman pitched for the Giants at the end of last season, but I think he was a re-sign as well, too, wasn't he? Wasn't he a free agent? And then
I think he was. Yes, he was.
He's
been phenomenal.
He's been amazing.
Phenomenal. And an ex-Oriole, a team that needs him so badly.
I mean, that pitching rotation has been lights out. I mean, it's
and really that's cool. That's what done it. But I mean, I said ages ago that the key was, can they stay healthy? And the worrying is that, you know, Belt's been injured and Posey's injured. So that is going to be the question.
Strzemski was injured for a while too. Yeah,
he was. He's been in and out of the lineup.
Yeah. But guys, they've won 9 of their last 10. They've got.
But you know why they're not winning the World Series?
Why?
Because it's an odd year. They only win World Series in San Francisco in even years. We know that. They won in 10 and 12 and 14.
Okay. And in 10, I tipped them up in an article about 4 weeks before the end of the season. They were 50-1 that year for the World Series. Tipped them up, boys. Didn't have anything
on. How much did you make on it?
Not a penny.
Is this episode the look at me episode? It's like everyone's trying to, let me tell my story about my life.
Let me tell you the story about my life. Starring David Lengel as me.
The Giants are 4.5 games ahead of the Dodgers. They are 5.5 games of San Diego. And everybody was talking about those two teams being possibly the best teams in baseball.
And look, half a season. I wouldn't say small sample size, but I would say there's a lot more baseball to be played.
Hey, we're almost at July 4th, Josh. This is getting serious out there.
It's legit. I'm not saying small sample size, like put it to the side, but I'm saying you got to maintain that for a full season, and whether they're going to have the health or the pitching's going to maintain. You know, Alex Wood, who was just dominant for a long time, he's sort of fallen off. So if they have a few of their other star pitchers do the same, then it may be a little bit hard pressed in that division.
We'll see if they fade away or if they stay all the way.
Talking of staying all the way, Mets 4 games up now on Washington, who've had a great run, got themselves into second place. Atlanta 5 games back. I mean, this is just a division where 4 of the teams haven't got a 500 record. No one seems to want to win it except for the Mets, who are sort of hanging in there. And yet the Mets have had a 4-6 record last 10. I mean, how bad is the NL East?
They have struggled, but they've played a lot of doubleheaders because they had to make up a lot of games, and they had some trouble. They had 2 bad starts from Stroman. Stroman hurt his hip and was able to make his scheduled start today. He didn't pitch great. He only made it 3 innings. But they lost their 5th starter, who was coming in to be their 5th starter, Lucchesi. So they look for them to make a deal to get another arm in there, because we don't know what's going to happen with Syndergaard and Carrasco.
But that whole division's surprising, right? I mean, I don't think we would have expected the Braves or the Nats to be struggling as much. I mean, the Marlins were such a surprise package last year. We thought maybe they'll be at least an average team. So I think that's been one of the big surprises, is the difficulty in that division.
Can't agree more. We've got time for one more question. Our dear old friend Edward Ditchfield, and I do love this. Okay, question for the gruesome twosome. I think he assumed it would just be you and me again, JC.
Oh, okay.
We all know Josh was a catcher, but if there was a game where all 4 had to play, where would you stick Johnny and Eric?
Johnny, bat boy. You could be the guy down
bat
on the
boy.
Third baseline. David, clubhouse attendant. I think you'd be great with pals.
Oh, you're not even putting me out. Can't even stick me out in left?
No.
I mean, I can catch the ball.
No, you're that guy, that annoying guy running down with the beer and the popcorn. Come on, who wants a beer and popcorn?
You'd be great at that. I would have like some shtick.
Yeah, I would have like a shtick, like a bad shtick for the popcorn. And it would be like awful.
Yeah.
That would be me.
I think you'd be the professional heckler. You know, the guy they hire to heckle like a...
Josh should be that.
I'd be like the guy in...
Josh should be that grumpy veteran sitting in the... I'd be so much better than that.
Backup catcher. I was born to be a backup catcher. I've done it my whole life. Catch bullpens, you know, and then, you know, play a garbage time inning at the end of the game.
Well, huge thanks to all our listeners for taking us over the 2,000 followers on Twitter. Literally, we've got 2,001. So we will be getting a JC and JG goodie bag. We're going to put it together. I'm going to go and look at all our Twitter followers, and I'm just going to choose one randomly, and we'll announce the winner on next week's show. Now, quick pointy at the bottom. Don't forget to subscribe, to like, to get involved. And also, don't forget to watch our other podcasts in the Ted Fred stable. Or listen even. And that is, of course, listen. See, I still can't get over the Channel 5 days. I'm assuming it's a viewing. But we are, of course, on YouTube, so you can view as well. You can see me in my Atlanta Braves shirt.
Preferred is to listen.
And the Fantasy Baseball Podcast, I'll be joining James Holden again behind home plate at BHP Pod. And that is the Twitter handle for the show. You can get in touch with me personally if you want to. That's at Johnny M. Gould. The M stands for Michael. James's Twitter handle off the top of my head, I think, is at Jam99. I shouldn't be able to forget that. So sexy. That's a proper sexy Twitter handle, guys. Have you got a sexy Twitter handle, Dave?
No.
No. JC, you haven't, obviously.
Yeah, at Josh Chadwick.
I don't have a sexy bone in my body, Josh. I've never actually gone.
Love it. Love it. Don't forget also check out the Nat Coombs show at the NC show. We're all part of the same family, follow the same stable, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Boys, we are nearing the end of the show. It's been an absolute pleasure. I have to say, Dave, Josh and I loved having a two ball last week, but it's an absolute joy to have you this week.
There's nothing like a good threesome.
I think we might be overusing the editor this week, JC.
Yeah, I think so too. You said we're near the end of the show. I say we are at the end of the show.
I agree. Here, here.
Fantastic. Boys, love you loads. Thank you so much for joining us. My baseball brothers, that's it from us. Thank you to all of you listeners. We'll be back next week for episode 15 of the Johnny and Josh Show. We look forward to having you company.